Microphone check, is this thing really on? Welcome back to another episode of Unwrapped. And we have one of my favorite people in the studio with us today. And I just have to have a little story. I've known her for a very long time when I first moved to Baltimore. And, you know, we hadn't seen each other in a while. About last year, I bumped into her in a hotel. And I was just like, wow, Michelle, you look amazing.
Stop.
Okay. I saw her and I'm like, what have you done? You look, she was slim, she was trim, she was fit, and she's always been a vegan since I've known her.
I was a chunky vegan though at first.
You were a
chunky? Because I was having babies.
You were having babies.
Lots of babies.
All right.
Back to back.
But Michelle Foreman Shields.
Don't say the whole government name.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You know what? Michelle, the indie mom of comedy. You can't say the other stuff. That's the tax ID.
You're right. Somebody may be looking for
Somebody
you.
Somebody is looking for us. It's just Michelle, the indie mom of comedy.
Yes. So she is a female comedian. And you know, on Unwrapped, we just try, just total package. We try to highlight different women doing different things to let young girls know, like, the sky's the limit.
Sure.
You could be anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I said, I saw Michelle and I was like, what are you doing? And she's
smoking crack.
And we, just and a we sat there. No, literally, we saw
we
each
sat
other.
There for a minute.
I mean,
we?
It was like over an hour and she was just breaking it down to me.
What's that?
And she was like, hashtag
look like the girlfriend.
Like the girlfriend.
Look like the girlfriend. I know y'all want to see this because the best bra in the nation.
we are doing a live Facebook
like
live.
She's the
Facebook,
girlfriend. Yes. Yeah, my sister's Facebook live and me because that's what we do. Yeah. Look like the girlfriend. So you saw me. We were at the one of those.
The Urban. Yeah, it was the Urban League convention.
Yeah,
and we were in the Hilton Hotel.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you like? What made this transformation?
Well, the thing was, I had always been a vegan. I've been a vegan 20 years now.
You've been a vegan for 20 years?
Yeah, my kids have never had anything but vegan food. My oldest is 16. So
who I'm in love with. Can I just tell you, I have like a complete girl crush on Hadiya. Like her daughter is Hadiya.
No worries.
Is so talented.
Aww.
And I like been showing Janine like all of her stuff.
Amazing.
I'm like, we need to have her on our show. We need to have her
she
in an
do,
event.
Like a tiny desk like they do on NPR when they come in and perform right there.
Yeah.
And
all
right.
Yes.
Like bring the guitar and do some acoustic. Wouldn't that be
love,
fun?
That would be.
Love her.
Yes.
Super talented.
And she's super cute.
Follow her. What's her
Hadiya Doll.
Spell it.
Hadiya Doll. He is so disrespectful.
Yeah.
Hadiya Doll. Hadiya Doll. You can follow her on everything.
Please follow her. She is super talented.
She's got her EP is called Nafia. It's named after my younger daughter. And it means a friend. It means gift. I'm sorry. Her whole name means a jovial companion who's queenly and prosperous and a gift. That's what my younger daughter names me. So Hadiya named her first EP after her younger sister, Nafia, and it stands for a gift because Hadiya's name means gift as well. So both of our daughters have gift as one of their names. But more importantly, Sanjay and I have been on each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when she met me, I was right in the middle of babies, like having babies. I was still a stand-up, but you guys know when you're a mother, like when you're a mother and you have a baby, I mean, I was doing stuff like Comic View and stuff like that on BET and, you know, making my way around the circuit. But a woman who has a baby doesn't work the same way a male comic who has a baby.
Mm-hmm.
A male comic who has a baby can still go out on the road 40 weeks out the year.
Yes, they can.
A female comedian who has a baby has to take care of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it works. And I didn't have a problem with that, but it definitely shifted my career differently than it does my male counterparts. And that's no disrespect, but that's just the reality of what it does. So Sanjay met me when I was puffy and vegan. Because I was, and I was never like gross. Like it was like I was fit.
She was thick. She was,
I was just, I was breastfeeding. So a lot of that came off from the breast milk. I breastfed all three of the kids and their father on Tuesdays, but that's not the point. Only on first Tuesdays. That's not the point. No, I was nursing them. I was making their baby food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Remember, I was making baby foods and putting in ice cube trays. I stayed home with each of them for the first year or so. So, you know, I wasn't on the road like that.
Okay.
But I wouldn't change a thing.
Yep.
Because now you see me and ain't nobody on there except for their father on Tuesdays. But that's the point. and so we saw each other and it was like, I didn't realize how much I missed her until I saw her.
Yeah.
And we started talking grown woman stuff.
Yeah. I mean, tell us a little about that grown woman stuff. You were like, listen.
Well, I have, you know, I'm the hashtag queen. Like, I'm the hashtag queen on things that's grown for grown women, mm-hmm. right? So the hashtag that I always put out there on stage is look like the girlfriend. And I know I had a whole, I didn't tell you this, Sanjay. I had an entire article written about me that blasted me for my content, saying that it was a feminist who wrote the article. And she's a professor. Oh, I wish I could remember her name. She's a professor at UMBC. Huh. If I could remember her name, I would say it out loud, but I didn't commit it to memory because it was bullshit. But it was bogus. But it the article was on this thing called the McKay. I can't think of it. But she said that my comedy was about how to keep a man and who really needs to do that and if you love yourself. And she called me a mean girl. She said she was probably a mean girl growing up, and she said some really terrible.
But she was being a mean girl.
She said that I was probably a mean girl when I was growing up. She said that I pretended to have a vocabulary that that, you know, I was a little too haughty about my vocabulary because I was a former doctor. She launched that I was a former doctoral candidate that never finished my PhD. So she was real shady. And I didn't even, trust me, this was a night that I was doing a show. I think I was either with Damon Wayans or JB Smoove. I was opening for one of them. And she was in the audience. And I didn't know this chick. And she went in. Here's the funny part. She writes about stand-up. She writes, all of her research is around how stand-up has helped the African-American community get through tough times. You know.
You have to excuse me.
Oh, God.
What's happening?
She is allergic to her weave.
Okay, she's allergic to her weave, but she won't take it out. I love you, but you know what?
Listen,
you gonna let the weave make your nose run? Is that what we doing?
I had become immune to it, guys. For a good week, I was fine, and all of a sudden today, I had a flare up.
Where they do that?
And I'm miserable.
Where they do that? Because the universe is telling you that whatever that is, it ain't of God. That's what it's saying. That is the devil. Anything that's making you sneeze and your eyes water.
Oh, and I'm miserable.
Yeah, but you cute, though. She's like, I'm cute. She said, my highlight's popping. She said, my highlight's popping. But I can't breathe.
So, no, I can't don't breathe. Have a cold. I'm not sick. I'm having an allergic reaction to my weave.
You know what, Sorora? I loved you when I met you. Now I'm fascinated. Like, where do they do that? Like, who kills themselves for the sake of weave? Like, isn't really?
I find it so...
Like, where they do that at?
I paid too much money, guys.
What? You paid attention is what you did. You ain't paid money. You paid attention to how cute you was going to look. And you was like, but I'm going to be, all right. Okay, let's get back to it. That was so funny. That was the best.
Someone has called me out in the last three episodes.
Because it is so, I'm like.
Wait a minute, that weave has been in for three episodes?
Yes.
You know what? Are you trying to die?
She is still going.
She will die. She gonna die. It's gonna clog amazing. Up something. And it's gonna be like,
it might not be the hair. I'm hoping that
you know
I'm
what you mean. This I'm. You know what? I'm sorely disappointed. You need to get unwrapped.
Yes, tell her.
You need to get unwrapped.
Let that
I'm
go.
I'm here with the paper towel in my nose. Y'all go on. Mind your business.
Okay, we gonna mind our business. Okay, we gonna mind it.
Right. So okay. So she went in on you about
about my comedy.
About
she said that that my comedy was more about how to keep a man.
But that
and
just
that's not what that's not what I talk about. The whole premise of look like the girlfriend, mm-hmm. just for public record, has less to do with my husband or any other man. Has more to do with self concept and self worth and self love, because essentially. You know, a woman that cares for herself, you can see it. You can see in how she shows up in the world. It shows up when she walks in a room. You don't have to have on all designer. You have to be a label whore. You know, you can wear whatever, but if you take care of yourself, if you love on yourself, it shows up. Mm-hmm. You're just a $5 t-shirt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is nothing. But with the right bangles and the boots and the jeans and, you know, a little bit of gloss, it's on and popping. Why? Because my goal is to make you nervous every time I leave this house.
Amen.
Every time I leave,
amen.
I want it to be a situation. I want you to be very concerned. And I could be going to Whole Foods. You understand? With some stilettos and a raincoat. And you know that ain't nothing but a situation. You understand? But the bigger premise is we lose ourselves, ladies. Especially in relationships.
And you've been married how many years?
18 and a possible. It's like spades. Trying to make board. We just made 18 last week. The 16th of October, I made 18. I'm at 18 and a possible. I'm trying not to renege.
That's a long time.
I'm trying not to renege. I'm trying not to cut diamonds. I'm trying to use the big joker at the right time. It's a situation is what I'm trying to tell y'all. And it's not... Like, I got to figure it out. I don't have a clue. You know what I mean? But I'm not willing to give. You know what it is? I'm not a quitter. You know, I'm just not a quitter. If I were a quitter after my second child, I would have stopped doing stand-up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Baby number three, I'm on Nickelodeon, pregnant.
Oh.
On a show called Search for the Funniest Mom in America.
Yep.
Roseanne Barr was the host.
Yep.
I'm on there pregnant and swole up like a pumpkin. I'm looking like the Great Pumpkin. The heck with Charlie Brown. I had on orange. I'm looking like the Great Pumpkin. It was out to here. That was my son, Mosiah Sekou. Yes, I was pregnant and I was a finalist. Won over 300 women. I was one of the 12 finalists. So, you know, I could have given up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people get dismayed, especially women, because we have so many different hurdles to jump. But I made light of it, you know? And I said, when this boy come out, I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to get my swag. I'm going to get my life back. And I'm going to make sure this man knows that you will not put nothing else in me that will grow. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was the last thing.
Yes, I did.
That was the last thing that grew inside of me.
And you started, because we were talking, and you were like, I just started running.
I did. Yep. Because everybody was trying to kill me in the house. And that was the fastest way out of the house, was to just, what happened was, seriously, y'all, and I don't have a problem sharing this. I started running because I was stressed. You know, wanting to live your dream and also be a wife and somebody's mother, not just one kid, not just two kids, but three.
I got three.
Okay, Janine. And so that's why you got that weed. That's why you crying, because you're like, y'all not about to kill my swag. I'ma have this highlight and this weave. Now I'ma cry all day, but I do not have postpartum.
I get it. No, honestly, like I tell people, fitness saved my life. I birthed two, and then I have a stepdaughter. But after my last one,
so that's bonus baby.
That's my bonus baby. Mm-hmm. I was so stressed and so tired and just so frustrated. And the only thing I could do was go to the gym. That was my 1 hour and 10 minutes
to yourself,
to myself, mm-hmm. of peace. And it's the one time that your mind just zones out.
Yep.
I don't think about anything else in the gym, like no work, no nothing. So I totally understand what you're saying. Uh-oh, what's going on Facebook Live?
I don't know what's happening. I don't know. It's hard. Just keep going. So I get it. I started running because out of frustration.
Okay.
Like I was in the house literally cooking, and you know, being a vegan, I cook. When I'm home, I cook every night. Right?
Yeah, no, and listen, I told you, she was the first vegan that I've ever met.
And then, she shut it down, came to the house and ate.
I remember Common came to the house. He was visiting because that's when he used to be on the radio.
Common came to your house?
Yeah, things like that happen from time to time.
Yeah, the Chief household was dope, sometimes. Very dope. Sometimes. And because he wanted to find a good, because he was vegan for so, you know, he's been a vegan forever as
he
well.
He has, yeah. You know, you see his skin.
Yeah, we just saw
his skin.
His skin
looked like butter. Yeah. I wish I knew how to quit him. I swear, I wish I knew how to quit him. We go together in space.
In space?
In outer space.
In outer space.
Yeah, it's not in
the next lifetime, like the whole,
outer space, it happens.
I can see that.
Yeah, me and Ebadu share something. Yeah.
So is your whole household vegan?
The entire house.
Your
My husband introduced me to it. My husband's been a vegan since college.
Oh, wow.
And he was at Grambling State University in the middle of Louisiana, where everything had a heartbeat.
And fried.
And flipped and did it and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how he did it. I stopped eating red meat and pork in college. But by the time I moved to Philadelphia for graduate school, I was still eating fish, you know, and chicken and turkey. And I met him the spring of 97. And we went out on a date, and he was like, "You're not gonna eat meat no more." And I'm like, "That's the devil. That who does that? Who don't eat chicken? That's Lucifer. Like, who don't eat?" You know, I was in Philly that had the best chicken cheesesteaks, that had turkey chops. I would go to Germantown, to the farmer's market, and they would come straight from Pennsylvania with lean turkey sage. I would make my own turkey sauce. I'm like, "You must be out your mind. You think I'm giving up turkey?" But he would cook for me all the time, and the food was really good. The food was good. The what's name was good. Everything. The what's name was good.
He turned you out.
The food was good. The brother could conjugate a verb. It was a lot happening in tandem. And so I got turned out on some good food. And it changed me, though. I never got, I'm not going to make it sound so glorious. I didn't get sick. Like, I stopped getting colds. Like, I used to suffer from migraines. I stopped getting migraines. My whole life, my body started changing. Even my pregnancy, I had three natural births at home. I didn't have drugs. I had a midwife. Mm-mm. So, you know, my body was just like, you know what? I'm going to go straight. I went straight. I went straight, and I squatted like the ancestors. I ain't lying. Squatted and had them babies. Tar, was you there for the last one?
No, the first when you...
Oh, when the she fell in my pajamas. The one that y'all like that plays. That's why she's special needs. She fell in my pajamas.
What?
Yes. I thought I had to... Boom. I never had a baby before. I didn't know that was a baby. I mean, I knew I had a baby in
me. You pushed and it was your baby.
And she fell out into my pajamas while I was getting off the toilet. I mean, that stuff only happens to me. In my old house on Utah.
Yeah,
she fell out in the bathroom upstairs.
So, wow.
So she was in my pants leg wiggling around in my pajama pants.
Did you freak out?
Cause she was small.
Were you a little afraid?
I was relieved cause I felt constipated. I was like, this was good. I could do this
again.
And the EMT lived down the street, and he just came down with his nurse bag, and then they called the ambulance, and they was like, just cut her. My sister got some scissors, a sorority. That's what we do. She got some scissors and opened up my pants leg, cause my husband was like, oh Lord. Oh, the baby. Like, the baby in her underwear. Like, she wasn't in my underwear. She was in my PJs. But needless to say, my sister got her out. And the midwife was on the phone. And she was like, put her on your skin so that she can smell you. And she was like this little thing. And she was just like, and sure enough, she put her on my skin. She stopped crying. And we cleaned her up and went right back to the hospital that I had left out of. Because they were trying to make me have her in the hospital. I was like, that's not the birthing plan. I was so organic. I was like, that's not the birthing plan. I don't have incense or other candles. I can't do this. So I left. And I pooped her out and took her back and said, can you guys clean her up, spiff her up, and we'll take her home. And she's like detailed at the hospital. She got detailed at the hospital. And then we brought her home. I can't make that stuff up. It really happened like that.
I want to hear more about Look Like the Girlfriend. And I'm more intrigued because, moment of transparency, I have been arguing with my husband all week, guys. Like all week. Today was the first day we did not argue. And it wasn't over anything in particular, but he just kept going and going and going. And his main thing is he feels like, you know, I mean, we've been together for quite some time. He's like,
What's quite some time?
We've been together for 8 years, married for 5. I feel like I say this every episode. And I don't know.
Can I say something, sis?
I'm listening.
I love how when you ask Black people how long y'all been together, you can't say, like you said, don't ask them how long they've been married. Ask them how long they've been together.
Yeah.
Because the numbers don't never match.
They
it's always like,
match.
Okay, I've known them since 9th grade. Then he went to college. He had that baby with that other girl, whatever. And then they broke up. And then we hooked up when we was at the club. And I was impressed because he was still with old girl. But then, I mean, I've known him for 27 years, but we've been married for 3. He's like, because the numbers don't add up ever. I'm just saying.
Sounds about right. Story
I'm sorry.
Life.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just had to say that. You set it up. I had to knock it out.
It's okay. It's okay. So, yes. This looked like a girlfriend thing. I need some advice.
So essentially, I had to recondition the people in my house as I was getting reconditioned. So as I started running and stuff, I started changing. Like, it was my way of getting freedom. It was my way of not ending up in central booking or at a psych ward.
Yeah.
Because somebody was going to die. I wasn't going to go out. I'm from Park Heights. If anybody knows what that means, I wasn't going to die. It wasn't going to be a pretty situation. And so the running saved everybody's life. Theirs, mine. But I had no idea that it was going to change me physically because I was just doing it for mental health. Because I'm not a runner. I played lacrosse in high school and I played softball. I wasn't on a track team and my family has degenerative knees. So it was not about running. It was about the mental health. And I looked up one day and I've always been between maybe a 6 and an 8, you know, on my largest days. The heaviest I ever got was a 10. I looked up one day and I'm wearing 4s and 2s. And I'm like, when did that happen? Like, that wasn't the goal. That wasn't the goal to be like losing weight. I mean, because we already had the healthy lifestyle and the food was already a wrap. But that running, that changed everything. And it changed my temperament. It made me more patient. But then I started, you know, I've always been on stage. I started getting on stage and I started looking like the girlfriend. And brothers was like, so how long your husband been married? You know, just saying slick stuff. Truth. And because I am a woman of God, I will hold my peace. But I think more importantly, I saw myself changing. My kids saw me changing. Their father saw me changing. Women saw me changing. And I talked about it. I talked about how we shouldn't get complacent, how so many women, you know, all they want to do is get married and have kids. And while I think that's a beautiful thing, that can't be everything, because them kids going to leave someday. Mm-hmm. You understand? They're going to pack their bags and they're going to ball out. And what you going to do? Like, I'm not one of those women, my children are my life. My kids, they're everything. My husband is everything. Like, I like these people. They cool. But everybody can bounce, you know. Honestly, everybody can leave at any time. So you have to still have a life. And Look Like the Girlfriend is about you reclaiming your life and still being pursuant of your own dreams. Because so many women be like, well, you know what? You know, I don't need a career. I got the... No! You should still be pursuant of something. Mm-hmm. Something should still drive you and motivate you. So Look Like the Girlfriend is all that. It's a lifestyle. My brand is a lifestyle brand. The Indie Mom of Comedy is about being independent, innovative with individuality while loving motherhood and marriage. That's my bag.
That's one hell of a motto.
But the point of it all is the motherhood and marriage is temporal. That can always come and go, but I'm constant. Yeah. How I care for myself, how I see myself, I'm constant. So I'm sending messages to the people I share space with that I know all of y'all can bug out, but I ain't never gonna cheat myself. You could cheat on me, they could leave me, all kinds. In fact, you know what? He has cheated on me. With me, because I'm the girlfriend. Yes, yes, yes. Did y'all see their faces? Did y'all see their faces? Did you see their faces? With me, I'm the girlfriend. Okay, I seen the wife. She all right, but she can't touch me, you know? No, but you gotta do it for yourself. You know what I mean? Because it resonates. People treat you the way you treat yourself. And I think when me and Sanjay reconnected, she saw that I was working on me, that I hadn't given up on me. And so many women, you see women looking like wives, walking mm-hmm. around with flats. Mm-hmm. Where they do that at?
Kitten heels.
Who wear kitten heels? Besides Hillary Clinton. And we know what that did for her. You know what I mean? Like, I have a pair of flats in my purse or in my car, but I'm putting on a heel because I'm grown. In other words, I am a god. A grown-ass woman, darling. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So we can put the flats on after we leave the show. But on stage, at the club, in the grocery store, at the PTA meeting, I like for the school to know their mother is not to be played with. I like for everybody to know. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. And so I'm being facetious in a lot of ways, but it's really about self-love and self-care. Mm-hmm. And being relentless about pursuing your own dreams. Because you have to. It gives you joy. My people in my house are happier when I'm happy.
That is yeah. true. But then you have another hashtag.
Yeah, I do.
it goes along. It's a couple little things. It's
the
like
the one I just shared with somebody.
Said, well, you said look like the girlfriend.
Act like the jump off.
Uh-oh.
And cook like the grandmother. I can't get no help in this place.
Uh-oh.
I can't get no witnesses in this place. Act look like the girlfriend. Off. Like, we all know who the jump off is. She want to be you. Mm. She want what you got. She want your house. She want your family. She want your clothes. She want your vernacular. She want your weave that make you sneeze. She want all of that. But she can't be you.
She can't.
But what
be
she
you.
Does is she provides a service, right? For those who fall in that category, she provides a service. So beat her to the punch. The jump off will do whatever you won't do. And that's why he run to her. You understand what I'm saying? But beat it to the punch. You already look like the girlfriend. Go ahead and act like the jump off. Do something strange for a little bit of change. You know what I mean? Mix it up. Stare it up. Make him be like, what's your name again? You know, and you know this man for 8 years, but y'all been married for 5. You know this man. We've been together since high school, but then he messed with old girl. The point is that the jump off is really a counterfeit. Mm-hmm. She serves a purpose, unfortunately, for her. But we understand that men are visual creatures. Mm-hmm. Okay, they got special needs, they twitch, they got short attention spans. And so, in other words, my husband ain't seen my belly button in 15 years. I wear Spanx at all times. You understand what I'm saying? He don't need that hole. The hole is where, you know, the Spanx got a nice hole.
The Spanx got a hole about
Yeah, that's the hole he interested in. He don't care about my belly button. It's always smooth when he touch me. He just like their visual creatures. Act like the jump off. And the last piece, cook. Like the grandmother. Now, I know a lot of sisters that be like, girl, I don't cook. Mm-mm. I don't cook. They think it's cute. Let me help you out with something. It is not fly not to be able to make a meal for yourself. And you wonder why you 22 and you got an extra baby you know, you got a baby in the back and a baby in the front, and they all overlapping because you're eating out every day. You don't know what those people putting in your food unless you go to Capera's Kitchen. You don't know. Shameless plug for my sorrow. Shameless plug. No, but the deal is when you cook food, you put your heart in it, right? You put your heart in that food and you know what goes in it. And so you translate that love. You sit down and you eat and you have a conversation. Yeah. You know what I mean? You think about it back in the day when our grandmothers and them used to make food. We would sit in my grandmother's house all Sunday and just eat after church. And we had conversation, and it's a lost art. So that's my third, that's my other hashtag. But
keeping it 100% real though, that's a lot. It's a lot to be able to maintain all of those roles.
It is.
How? Especially when you have three children at home.
And especially when now I'm on the road more than ever, and now I'm doing more television.
So how are you balancing all of this?
So I'm not. Okay. I'm not pretending. I keep telling you, I ain't got it figured out. I'm the crash test dummy. I'm just willing to poke fun about it. It is majorly difficult, but it's doable. If you don't lie to yourself, if you say, I need help. Oh, I'll call somebody in a minute. Ma, for real, your grandkids gonna be here by yourself if somebody don't come down here, because I'm about to get on this train. I'm heading back to New York. Can you pick somebody up from school? I work my village. You gotta have people, you gotta have like-minded people around you that aren't so insecure when you're winning. Because if they're insecure, they don't want to see you win, so they're not going to help you. Everybody in my life, from my soror who's holding that camera right now, doing this live, who just came from a meeting, who's the owner of her own restaurant, she ain't got to stand here and hold this Facebook live for these nine people. She ain't got to do that. She ain't got to do that. But we love each other. Mm-hmm. I was just teaching a comedy class across the motor house, and she said, aren't you here? Aren't you in town? Okay, I'm leaving such and such. I'm going to meet you. Okay, she ain't know she was going to be the grip today. She ain't know she was going to be, you know, on the camera. But again, that's love. So I ask for help. I ain't even going to front. I got a little bit of OCD, but it worked for me, though. I got a little bit OCD. I like things in order. So I believe in having some structure in my family. So there's certain things that I have been doing for the last 10 years. And now my girls who are 16 and about to be 14 and their brother is 10, y'all got to knock some stuff out. I'm going to need y'all to fold some clothes. I'm gonna need y'all to wash some stuff. I didn't show them. I have demonstrated that we set the table when we eat dinner. I have demonstrated that when they get up for breakfast, the table is set for breakfast. I've demonstrated hot breakfast. I've demonstrated pack your lunch. I packed 15 vegan lunches for years, a week. Now they pack their own lunches. Those little things save a lot of time when you empower them to do stuff. Now, do they always get it right? No, I didn't see some bogus lunches. I didn't see some wrinkled up clothes. I mean, it is what it is. I learned to stop overthinking it and let it go. But you gotta have systems in place to reach. It's not about goals, it's about systems. And so you have to have systems in place. And that's how you can manage it. And there's no other way. And you have to ask for help. So people, don't think I got this thing figured out because I'm tight in the waist, cute in the face, hashtag. Don't. I have help. And I promise you, as my tax bracket goes higher, I'm gonna get more help. I might have a Manny up in that piece. I promise you. He might be Latino, he might make homemade tortillas. Entiendes? I'm telling you, I'm about that Manny life. Somebody that want to get a listen, make some homemade tortillas. You can live at my house. I promise you. No, but it's about help, sis. That's what it's really about.
You know, it was. I said we sat there and we talked for hours, and Michelle was just like, you know, you sometimes gotta drop to you. She said. I was like, what? She's like, before he goes anywhere,
yeah,
huh?
You gotta relieve him,
huh? See, this was the
stop playing the nut roll.
This was one of the
you playing
the
nut roll.
You like, you want what? When I'm tired.
You playing the nut roll. The jump off will meet him if you don't greet him. You playing the nut roll.
The jump off will meet him if you don't greet him.
You better praise and worship like I do at night. Get on your knees and give him glory. Oh. Get on your knees and give him glory. I ain't got to spell that out. We grown. Get on your knees. I'm a worshiper, is what I'm trying to tell you. I be on my knees.
Your husband is happy.
I don't know. It don't even matter. I get to leave the house. That's the whole point. I'm not in there with them people. I do what I gotta do and I bounce. All right, cut it, Tar. You're gonna get me in trouble. Cut it. No, she's about to get me jammed up.
No, that was funny, Tar.
I was like, a Paris kitchen?
But you know, I said, It was very funny and it was very enlightening. You know, for someone who has been married for as long as you've been married.
It's been a little bit of time.
You know, marriages go through their ups and downs and you guys have dry spells. And I've seen my friends and them confiding in me some of the things and the hardships and, you know, my male friends saying that their wives don't please them and how can they feel? These men are in their 30s and it's just like, I'm not getting any sex at home.
That's real. But the other reality too is that a woman goes through so much when her body has morphed after having children. Like, I didn't feel sexy after having no baby. There was nothing about me that felt like, I want some what's name. I want some. I didn't want any. I was leaking milk. I was postpartum body. There was nothing that made me feel like I wanted you to touch me. And that's real. But it doesn't dismiss the fact that it's still a natural thing for a man to want that. It's a natural thing for a woman to want that. Some women get heightened in their sexuality after pregnancy. Like one of my other best friends, she was, after she had her baby, she was swinging from the trees. Like she was swinging from the chandelier in the bedroom. I was like, you better do that. Where they do that at? So I think that we have to be realistic about it. It's tough. And some women who haven't even had children, who, you know, their bodies have changed over the years through maturation, they even struggle with feeling sexual because you're like, I don't really feel. Like when you were in college and you was that chick and you knew it.
You couldn't tell
what?
Me
girl, nothing. You would be like, you want it where? Let's go behind the gym. What? You know what I mean? But you have to tap into her. Like I tap into her. Like, I want you to hear something crazy that I do, y'all. This true. I ain't never told nobody this. I'm going to tell y'all this on Unwrap because I love y'all. I dance in the mirror by myself. Every hotel I go to. I got a song list on my phone that says dance with me. And I dance in the mirror, usually just in my underwear.
Like a stripper dance?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. I dance provocatively. I have fun with it. I just dance silly dance, but I dance in the mirror. In my skibbies.
Is this practice?
No, it's for me to realize that I'm still sensual. Like, I'm like, if I'm turning myself on, I know somebody about to be like, what's your name? You know what I'm saying? And that person could be the person I live with or not. But the point of it all is that you have to tap, you have to be intentional about tapping into those parts of yourself that kind of get dormant after years of being with the same. I remember the same man every day.
For
18 years.
That's a long time.
20 years if you count when I met him. Because, you know, it ain't going to match up. I keep telling you, so black people dates don't match up. We've been together 20 years since 97. We've been married 18 years. And you can't do business as usual. You got to mix it up. You got to reinvent yourself and you got to evolve you for you. And then everybody else will pick up. Everybody else will pick up.
What do you teach your kids about love?
I teach them that love is a verb. It's not just a feeling. You know, women, we good. Girl, I'm so in love. Girl, I love him. Ooh. No, for me, love is a verb. It's an action. It does something. It shows up. So if you say you love me and I tell you that I'm in need of something, you need to make that happen. Because love is a doing thing. It's not just an emotion. And so I teach my girls and my son. Because my son not going to be that cute dude that just be like, yeah, girls, you know, they checking for me. Mm-mm. If you going to love somebody, you're going to show up for her. You're gonna be that dude. You're gonna open doors, okay? Yeah. You're gonna treat her with respect. You're gonna pull her chair out when she sits down. You know what I mean? You're gonna look her in the face when you talk to her. Ain't no looking down. Look her in the eyes. You know, things that are just tangible. And then I also tell them that truthfully, the best and most unconditional love you can have is the love of God. Because God is love. Wherever God is, there should be, you know, something beautiful happening. So if you fall in love with God and make God the lover of your soul, everything else, you'll be able to handle it. Because even if it goes wrong, you know, you got God. Mm-hmm. So I'm demonstrating that. And that's because I fall down. You know, I let my kids see me struggle. I don't believe in, oh, we can't. What we don't do, though, because I don't curse. My mother never cursed in front of me. I was a great cursor. Like all through high school and stuff. Like I was a master cursor. And then I got delivered because my sister was like, you're so smart. Why do you curse so much? And I was like, because mommy never cursed. And we all. So I never really used profane language, but I want to show them how to get at people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't want my kids to be them goofy, smart kids that be like, he's bothering me. What should I do? No, I'm going to need you the check this. I mean, you had to check them, so I have to kind of model that, because it's not like they in the hood and they going through. You know what I mean? It ain't like they going to the bus stop and it's like they didn't pass. You know, all kinds of situations. So I have to kind of simulate it for them. But for the most part, about love, I teach them that it's a verb.
How did you know you wanted to be a comedian? How did that?
I didn't.
You didn't.
No, I was a psychology major. My bachelor's in psychology. My master's work is in psychology. I was working on my doctorate in school psychology, and I was always singing. Singing and performing in all the musicals. So I was Dorothy in The Wiz. I was in Dreamgirls. I was Dina Jones in Dreamgirls. I was in Pearly, Ain't Misbehaving. All that was in college. So I never knew. But from what I've been told, they tell me I've been funny my whole life. Like, people are like, girl, you always been funny. Like, people from third grade be like, you were funny in third. Like, how you funny in the third grade? What you be saying? when you's like eight? Like, what could you possibly say? But I got dared to do comedy by my coworkers. When I got out of college, I worked for Baltimore City's Department of Infants and Toddlers Program. And we were all recent graduates. Me and my best friend came there from Bowie State. Three of us were from Bowie State. Five of them were from Morgan State. So we were all coming from these HBCUs, and we all had degrees in psychology, sociology, or social work. And we were working as service coordinators for Baltimore Infants and Toddlers Program. And this is a program that would serve babies. We were in a project called Reaching Families Early. These were babies who were prenatally exposed to drugs. Mm-hmm. And the grant was that we would go and help the babies get services so that they wouldn't have developmental delays. But in order to serve the babies, we had to, you know, work with the mothers. And I'll never forget, I had East Baltimore as my catchment area, and I was from Northwest Baltimore. So I wasn't real familiar with East Baltimore like that. And that's when the projects were still up and stuff. And I remember that I had to go to the houses. Like, I had to go into projects. First, I would go to the hospital if the babies were hospitalized, because oftentimes they were withdrawing from the drugs. And then afterward, I would have to do a home visit. And I never forget going up in the projects in East Baltimore and going in the row houses and stuff. And I just remember I would come back and I would make them laugh, because some of the stuff was so hard to see. You know, you got these little babies and you got these young mothers, and they'd be like, I swear for God, I swear for God, girl, he is so strong. Like, because they would hold the baby up, and the baby would have drugs still in their bodies, and so they had atrophy, so their limbs wouldn't always bend until the drugs were completely out of their bodies. So these girls thought that the babies were strong because the baby could hold their head up at like 2 months. If your baby is 8 weeks old, it should not be able to hold his head up. That's drugs. They be like, he the strongest baby I ever had. I'm like, nah, he strung out on coke, but we're going to talk about that later. You know, and so things like that, I would have to educate them and not belittle them, because it was just one choice. It could have been me. So it was just, and they would say stuff like, we the same age, you don't have no kids. I'd be like, no. no. They was like, dang, that's nice. I'd be like, because they would have the little stair step kids. And I remember coming in, this is when the Nation of Islam used to be the security for the high rise projects. And I remember the Fruit of Islam would take you up the elevator. And I remember we would go like Paul and Silas, it'd be two of us. We get off the elevator. I mean, you get on the elevator and it just smelled like, it wasn't even piss. It was like poisonous urine. It was like snake pee. It was like just the deepest, like ape pee mixed with dolphin pee mixed with snake pee.
Oh God.
And like, oh literally, God. You get on the elevator and your whole body just cringe. But the people that live in the building just go like, how you doing? They don't even notice it because they used to it. But I remember going into these apartments and you would see one baby walking with a diaper on, with a bunch of powder on their chest, but their diaper was filled up with poop. So you got a fresh neck, but I know we can't curse. Yes. And then you would see the other baby and they would have on the undershirt with no bottom. So one got on the diaper, one got with no shirt, and one got on the undershirt with no diaper. And then the baby that was my client would be in there. She'd be like, this my Keisha, Takeisha, and Rayquisha. Like, they all had matching names. And so I would just come back to the office and I would tell these stories, but I would try to make it lighter because it was so sad. Like, they would ask me to bring loose Pampers and stuff. Can I get $1 so I can get some loose Pampers? And, you know, I just, stuff I had never seen before, like roaches and stuff. And it's like, not that I had never seen a roach. It was just that they had trained us to not sit down because you just never know, you know, what might jump off. I never forget, I was in a row house in East Baltimore. I think it was on Rose Street, it was somewhere. And they raided the house right next door. And it was a worker in that house, and the worker went down to the precinct too. So if you in the house when they raid, they don't care if you got your badge that says Baltimore City Health Department, nothing. They take everybody to the jail. Everybody. And I'm like, I ain't about to catch no charge over some diapers. That's what I'm not about to do. So I would always stand close to the door. I mean, I saw so many things that that weren't funny, yeah. But I poked fun. So my coworkers, all my girls from Morgan and from Boo, they were like, girl, you are so funny. And I'm like, girl, ain't nobody funny. Like, yes, you are. And he was like, we're going to put you in a contest. I said, to do what? To tell jokes. I was like, I don't have a joke. They put me in Monique's contest when she still had a club. And I said, what am I going to talk about? They printed out all the stories that I would tell in the lunchroom.
Oh, wow.
You gonna say this, tell that story about that time, tell that story about your uncle, did it? Because I was always telling stories. And I said, y'all, I ain't doing it. They said, come on, we gonna all go with you. And that's how it happened. We all went down there. They put me on the list. I got up. I told some stories, like the same little goofy stories I'm telling you. And people were cracking up. And I was like, whoa, this is...
You like this
kind of nice. I felt like Pookie from New Jack City, you know. I was like, they calling me. And I won 3 weeks in a row. And I did my first professional gig at Monique's Club when she was still owner of the club in Baltimore. And then I went away to graduate school. So it wasn't like, that was in 1995. And it wasn't like I did it after that. I went to graduate school. But it was like I had gotten that little hit.
Yeah,
so when I went to Philly, yeah. I started going up to the clubs in Philly when I would get out of class. And that's when I would, you know, bump into Touré and yep. B-flat, all of us. Mm-hmm. And but I was a student. I wasn't like a serious comic. So I did all of that for like 3 years. And I didn't really start doing comedy professionally until like 1998. Which puts me at almost 20 years now. But in between that, I had babies. So really, quite honestly, I'm just getting to the good part. I'm just getting to the fun part because I got so much more to talk about now.
So what do you suggest for young girls who are funny and they, you know, and like what should they do?
Go, first of all, get in front of people. Like I tell people all the time, your family is the best audience. And my sister and I used to do shows for our families. We were singers and stuff, so we would make up little shows and stuff. But get in front of people. I would tell you to get in front of people. Get in front, like if you go to a church or a mosque or something and they have like these youth events, do a comedy bit. You know what I mean? Get up there and be funny. And then as you get up, Dave Chappelle used to be in the clubs at 16, you know, 14, 15, 16, he would be in D.C. at the clubs. And all the older comics would watch out for him because he was a young boy, but he loved comedy. And they would let him sit in that club. His family would let him sit in that club. So, I mean, there's always somebody that want to see you win. So line up with that and just do it.
So, but do you still get nervous?
Every single show.
So what do you do? What's your ritual?
I don't eat beforehand because I get nauseous. I've never had a drink before going on stage or probably even after. I pray intensely and I'm quiet. I say nothing. I don't talk at all before a show. When I was at Warm Daddy's last Wednesday, when I got there, the guy who's Touré's partner had never met me before. And I was just sitting there and they were like, yeah, Touré wants to buy you dinner and a drink. And I said, oh no, I can't. But the other comics were all like, and I was just sitting there. I said, but can I get a Shirley Temple with ginger ale? So it can be strong. And they were like, Shirley Temple with ginger ale.
I'm like, who's this lame?
I said, everybody else was like, give me some Hennessy. I was like, can I get a Shirley Temple with ginger ale and extra cherries? And that's my drink. And so I'm sitting at the end of the bar waiting to go up. And all these other comics are going up. And the guy brings me up, Buck Wild, brings me up. And he's like, such and such. And then I get up there and it just happens. So when I get off, the guy says, oh my gosh, I would have never thought you were going to do that. Like, you were just sitting there drinking a Shirley Temple, like, right? But I had so much fun and I acted a whole fool. I had a good time. So yeah, I get nervous every time. In fact, I got to fly out Friday to go to Atlanta for 3 days. And I'm hosting this really great event called Save a Girl, Save a World. Mm-hmm. But I can't wait to get on stage as well because I'm going to see my friend Rodney Perry. And he was telling me about some clubs that he thinks I should stop by. So I'm going to do a little time, but I get nervous every single time. Cool part though is that I'm launching some new stuff. So I'm excited, really excited about it.
Well, tell people how they could get in contact with you.
Well, I do have to say this. I want you guys to look out for me. I'm on a new TV show that comes out on True TV in January. It's called Laugh Tracks. Laugh Mob presents Laugh Traps. And Laugh Mob is an amazing producing company that's created by Bob Sumner. And Bob Sumner is the guy, if you watch Netflix, Def Jam 25, it was Bob Sumner who handpicked every single comic that was on Def Jam. Mm-hmm. And so he's my producer and my good friend. And so he's producing the show. And I just finished filming that in LA a couple weeks ago. And that'll be on in January. The season starts in January. I'm not sure when my episode comes on. And then we also have a new web series that we just finished getting out of pre-production. We shot our first pilot today. And so I'll be sharing more about that. I don't want to talk about it just yet. But when we're ready to launch, I'd like to come back and share with you guys about the web series, because we want to Issa Rae it, you know.
Yes.
We want to Issa Rae it. Mine's a short content, but I think it's going to be so funny. Y'all going to love it. It's so hilarious to me. So I can't wait to share the web series with you guys and get all of my city to watch it and follow it. Because everybody's like, well, you got to get your followers up. I'm like, I'm not doing nothing goofy and ridiculous for likes and follows. We're going to wait for something to be germane to how I show up in the world. And then if that's what it is, we'll shoot it and we'll make a series and it'll get done. So I finally died. I got it.
Well, you could get some followers now. Can you tell them?
Yes, you can follow me at Michelle Comedy on Twitter. That's M-E-S-H. ELLE Comedy on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm Indie Mom of Comedy. INDIE Mom of Comedy, one word. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I would love that. And you can also download my current project called Funny as a Mother. I did that a year and a half ago. It's on Comedy Dynamics, the same label that Tiffany Haddish's new project is on. My album is on that as well. It's called Funny as a Mother. You can get it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and I have a Pandora station called Michelle Radio.
So who's your favorite comic? Like, who do you...
Oh my gosh, it's going to sound so goofy. I'm going to be like, who? Okay, let me tell you who I adore. And she's no longer living. Jackie Moms Mabley. Moms Mabley.
Moms Mabley.
My fave, because you did not see her coming. You did not see her coming. And if you know her story, Whoopi Goldberg did a documentary on her 2 years ago. If you know her story, she was such a boss, it ain't even funny. She had them thinking that she was this helpless little old lady with no teeth. She was a boss. She had money. She had swag. She hung out in the White House. She hung out in the White House with the First Lady. The First Lady wouldn't travel out the country without Moms Mabley. People don't know she was a boss. And she had a proclivity for both. She did her thing. So, but yeah, she was amazing. So I love Jackie Moms Mabley.
Which First Lady?
Lady Bird okay. Johnson. I'm almost sure it was Lady Bird Johnson that she would travel with. She had clearance at the White House. You know, she started off on the Chitlin circuit and ended up in the White House.
What about some new comics?
New comics, I would, you know, gosh, it's hard to say. I have favorites that to me people may or may not know that I think are some of the most brilliant comics. One of my best friends, Larry Lancaster, I think is one of the funniest comics in the world. He's based out of Baltimore. Yep. And one of my other favorite comics in the world is out of Brooklyn, New York. His name is Mike Troy, also known as Brooklyn Mike. Hilarious. And Erin Jackson, another female comic, I adore her comedy. She's been on Ellen. She's on Last Comic Standing. So those are some of my faves. And I also like Gina Yashere and B-Flat. So, but when you think about the ones who are already so-called ascended, so to speak.
What do you think about Tiffany Haddish?
I love how she shows up in the world. I love how unapologetic she is. I love how she's not trying to be anybody but herself. So I adore that about Tiffany Haddish. But I also do love... you know, some of the old standard guys, like, I love hanging out. When DL and I are together, it's nothing but laughs and fun. But he's one of the smartest guys I've ever met. So DL is one of my faves as well. So, yeah, it's a lot of them out there that I really adore. But those guys, Mike Troy, Larry Lancaster, Erin Jackson, Gina Yashere, B-Flat, I love them. Hands down.
I learned a lot about you today. I am very intrigued. Like, I've been quiet this episode, and you guys know I'm never quiet. Yeah. But I've been sitting here with my mouth open.
Well, your nose
like,
running.
My nose is running.
That too.
Shots. Shots fired. Shots.
In addition to my nose running, I've just been listening. I feel like I was in school.
Well, she has to, you know, she's been married for 8 years. Her husband's
five.
I'm sorry, 5
right.
years.
Right, remember, don't
yeah,
add
my,
up.
My bad.
8 years together,
bad.
5
and
years married.
Every episode.
Every episode.
But you've been having this conversation with Chris, so now, you know, for someone who's been
but
married for 18
see,
years.
But as you can see, Janine, it's not, there is no rhyme or reason. This is all divine serendipity, and without God, I would not be able to do it. Because only God, see, marriage ain't natural.
It is not natural. There is nothing natural about taking
marriage
two people and mashing them into one.
Natural. It's spiritual.
It is spiritual.
Because only God can show you how to love one person forever. Only God can do that. It's not natural. And so I lean heavily on that. And when I find myself losing my way, I go right back to the source. Mm-hmm. And I'm real clear too. And I'm not going to make my marriage sound like it's picture perfect. I told my husband, if you're not my real husband, I'm going to need you to get out the way because he's looking for me.
Hello?
Because I'm a wife. I'm a wife that look like the girlfriend that act like the jump off. That cook like the grandmother, but I'm a wife. So I'm not built to be out here just willy-nilly, like running around, like, because I'm grown, I can do what I want. I thrive in monogamy. I thrive in relationship. I love having somebody that's I'm accountable to and they're accountable to me. But if you ain't built for that, I'm going to need you to keep it moving because you blocking because he looking for me and you in the way.
I couldn't see. That's heavy right there.
That ain't no easy conversation, but you have to know your worth. And after years and years of life showing up and things not always being perfect, I know my worth and I know I'm a wife.
Woo! On that note, make sure you check out Michelle,
the Indie Mom of Comedy. Check me out on True TV this fall, this January, and check out my album on iTunes, Funny as a Mother, and follow me at Indie Mom of Comedy.
Yes, guys.
Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you so much for lightweight stalking me.
You know, I was lightweight stalking.
We lightweight stalk each other. Yeah. Yeah, we don't show up at each other's house. We just send text messages. Where you at? What you doing? That's all we did.
Oh, and everyone, don't forget to subscribe to tpthemag.com.
Yeah, because we have a major event coming up in D.C.
Yay.
And we will be with Miss Gisele Bryant.
Got you.
Yes, so make sure you subscribe because this is going to be only for our loyal fans.
Yes, and cool I am Nurse Mo.
Yes, I'm Nurse Mo, who we featured on our WCW. And then we, you know, it's going to be a beauty and
that sounds health, fair. Wellness. When are you guys doing that?
November 19th.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyway, so you guys, make sure you subscribe because you guys will be the first one to be invited. All right?
Yay. Thank you so much for having me on Unwrapped. You girls are amazing. You ladies are amazing and beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris, take us out.
My mama called, see you on TV. Sunset done changed ever since we was on. I dreamed it all ever since I was young. They said I won't be nothing. Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People